Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in to another Training Camp Daily edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago, presented by St. Xavier University. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined here in Bourbon A by Cam Ellis. The first chunk of training camp practices are over. We've seen five practices between players reporting and their first day off, which is on Wednesday. So, Cam, I want to do this podcast as a little stock up, stock down.
Sure.
It's hard to really say anyone's stock is down who's been practicing in the first 5 days of camp, just because it's such a small sample size of practices. It's, you know, as John Moonmullen always says, the practices are the quizzes, the games are the tests. So no one's really failing anything right now. But if we are going to start with stock down, I think we need to look at guys who have not been out there on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
So for starters, I think stock down, Adam Shaheen, who is not... He missed another practice on Tuesday with a lower back issue. That's now three straight days of practice that he has missed.
Right, yeah. And I think it's difficult to tell whether if everyone had practiced today, whether he would have or not.
Right.
Just because a lot of guys got veteran off days today.
But yeah. Veteran off days, yeah, they're being pretty careful with these guys.
I mean, but no, I think that it is, I think there's certainly a right to be concerned. This sort of springed up out of nowhere. He does not have a real back injury history.
Right.
I talked to him on
Friday,
yeah, and he said that what he's sort of been dealing with the most has been sort of the ripple effects and about how when you try and rehab a certain part of your body.
Right,
from the injured ankle, that it has ripple effects in other parts of the body and that it can be strenuous on legs or knees or in this case, I guess it's back. So it's surprising and I'm a little bit concerned, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he hasn't been consistently healthy in his career to have something like this pop up where he isn't able to go out and practice and he isn't able to kind of grow in the way the Bears need just by not being on the field. Look, I know it's still early. The Bears have not sounded a whole lot of alarm bells regarding it so far, but this is definitely something to monitor over the next couple days of training camp because the Bears need Adam Shaheen out there. They need him to be healthy and productive in the Y spot on the field. I know we've harped on this so much that our listeners are probably sick of us talking about the tight end position, but look, Adam Shaheen missing these three practices. If he continues to miss practices, then he can't stack practices and kind of grow that way. So this is definitely something to monitor over the next couple days.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I have not seen a whole bunch of 12 personnel yet. It's hard to tell in these situations. It is affecting how much, what types of plays they can implement and what has been right now the opening of they're trying to build sort of the base and then move on to different offsets of plays in this first week. And so missing sort of the fundamental start of it is never a great.
You're missing sort of the install phase because, you know, that still is what's going on, even though it's a lot of these guys' second year in the offense. So, all right, well, that's kind of a negative place to start here. Let's go to a positive. I'm going to say stock up kickers.
Yeah, it's been surprisingly competitive. Maybe not surprisingly competitive.
No, it's been surprisingly competitive.
But surprisingly tight, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. I was sort of expecting a bunch of 4-for-10s and 5-for-10s, and it'd just be, oh, God, what's going to happen? But no, I mean, I think everyone has been 8-for-10 so far.
At least 8-for-10.
We were talking about this earlier. What is interesting is that today, Nagy was a little more pessimistic about an 8-to-10 performance than I would say he's been so far in camp.
I think actually Pinheiro went, I had him at 6-of-8 today, but still two misses.
Is what I'm looking for.
But
okay.
You're right about that, Cam. Nagy, after practice, was sort of, he wasn't as glowing about the misses that Pinheiro had. Given it was a close practice, I don't know how much I can really say about the misses, but I will say that one of his misses did a thing which caused a kid next to us yell the word parky.
Really loudly.
So you can infer what you will off of that. But I mean, look, Cam, today was a beautiful day. There's barely any wind.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like Monday, where Nagy was really impressed with Elliott Fry going 8 of 10 in horrible conditions, rain, crosswind, all that. So I'm not, you know, it's not to say Elliott Fry is now moved ahead of Eddie Pinheiro, but it was worth noting that Pinheiro didn't seem to have that quote-unquote dealer's choice that Nagy was talking about, where, you know, if you make a certain number of kicks, it seemed like Chris Tabor was willing to give you a shot at a long kick, which you saw the first 2 days out here.
Right.
We didn't see that today out of Eddie Pinheiro. But look, again, the games are what is really going to separate this competition right now. But so far, for all the bad kicking that we saw during OTAs and minicamp, we've seen a lot of good kicking out here at training camp, and that is at the very least an encouraging sign.
And I think that if maybe if you take nothing else away from it, maybe Nagy's comments are sort of the first sign of how camp is going to progress. It's all fun and good in the first week when you're going 6 for 8 or 8 for 10. But now it's time to not clank 33-year-olds off the post, 33-yarders off the post.
Wow, yeah, how about that?
It's been a long week.
Yeah.
33-yarders off the post, and I think maybe you're going to, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some sterner comments about kickers down the road from Nagy, because it's time to sort of start making your kicks.
The closer and closer we get to September 5th, the more and more pressure there will be on it, and the more and more importance it's going to be for one of these two guys to emerge. Mm. Granted, again, there's the whole they could pick someone up on waivers deal, which is still, I was asked about this on ESPN 1000 on Monday night by Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, who asked me if I still thought the Bears' week one kicker was not on the roster. And I said, yeah, I can't let 4 to 5 practices change what I've been saying all along. So I still do think that for the moment, the Bears' week one kicker is on another roster. If I had to guess a roster, it's the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
But, you know, there's still so many other options out there. This thing is still so early in the stages of this competition.
I don't know. I'll say, sort of to play devil's advocate here, does it seem a little bit less of more of an afterthought than it did maybe heading into camp? Like, does the idea of these two truly being the battle for the kicker seem a little more realistic at this point or no?
I think it's become a little more realistic now that they've got at least off to a good start.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I was always kind of laughing in the back of my head, like, yeah, you know, we'll have this whole kicker battle. It'll get all this attention during training camp. One of the guys will make the roster on Saturday of cutdown day weekend, and then on Sunday, that guy will be released and the Bears will pick someone up off of waivers.
Right.
And until I see these guys start making kicks in games, I'm still going to believe that. But that being said, the stock is up just because we've seen them make kicks on a pretty consistent basis.
Right. Yeah. And I'd be interested to see if this is just every other day is going to be how it goes all camp, or if there's another wrinkle of setting a new competition that the coaches have in store, because it would get stale a little. Like, you can already sort of feel the day off, day on thing. It's sort of getting not played out, but you wonder if there's another level to
it. If Nagy's going to throw a curveball at them, like, okay, you've got comfortable in this routine that you both have said you liked. Now here comes the curveball.
Especially with them being able to both ace this test pretty easily.
Right.
It seems like they're sort of ready for the next step and whatever it is.
That is going to be interesting. All right, second stock down. It's going to be Emmanuel Hall, just given that he has missed 3 practices so far. Nagy said they're being cautious with some soreness he's had as a residual from the sports hernia surgery he underwent. This is a guy who could not prove that he could stay healthy in college. And he framed it as, you know, sort of these random one-off bad luck injuries, which is fair. But one of the biggest reasons why Emmanuel Hall went undrafted is because teams couldn't trust him to stay healthy.
Right.
He's an incredibly productive player. He's really fast. He's he's got a good feel for the wide receiver position. But if he can't prove that he can stay healthy in July, it's hard to imagine he can prove that he can stay healthy in September and October and warrant a roster spot.
Right, and we hit on this a bunch yesterday, and that there's so much rotating depth at the bottom of the Bears wide receiver depth chart right now, and so especially at that position, missing practices and missing snaps in that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 range is so critical right now. And so if we're doing stock down based on purely missing time based on injury, which is sort of how we have to do it at this point, I would say he's probably at the bottom, right?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I've had a couple conversations with him, and he's such a positive individual and someone who really understands. I think he knows what it takes to make a roster.
Yeah.
The problem is he just can't get on the field to do what he knows what it takes to make a roster.
And I think in theory, the Bears could use his skill set in a lot of different situations.
I think a lot of teams could use that skill set. So at the very least, he's got to be healthy for preseason games to show either the Bears, like, hey, you can't sneak me out of the practice squad, or show the other 31 teams in the NFL, like, hey, I am a good wide receiver and you should take a chance on me if the Bears do not.
And I'm interested to see how long he is out for. Because, I mean, these first practices you can get away with, but if he's not playing until the third preseason game,
that's a problem. That's a big problem. Stock up. How about, actually, he just rode by in a cart over here, Javon Wims.
Yeah.
I have been really impressed with what I've seen from Javon Wims down here in the first five practices. He's caught everything that's been thrown his way.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
He's showing a lot of really good detail in his routes. I had a chance to catch up with him on Tuesday, and I thought it was really interesting how he said one of the things that has helped him the most is that, so Allen Robinson will go out and run a route and he'll do something, and Robinson will go back to Wims and say, hey, what did you like about that route? What could I have done better? And it's not like Robinson is quizzing him on it. It is very much a respectful dialogue between two receivers. Mm-hmm. But I was like, to Wims, I was like, you have a guy who's a 1,000-yard receiver coming over and asking you, like, what could I do better on a route? How does that help you think about the receiver position?
Uh-huh.
And Wims, you know, I'm going to write it up on NBC Sports Chicago on Wednesday. Wims said, like, you know, just seeing how Robinson goes about his routes and having this dialogue with him has been so helpful in year two. Now he's got sort of the offense down. He's got the routes down. He's got all these different things down. Now it's about the detail of everything.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see that really show up with Javon Wims, working with Mitch Trubisky, working with some of the other receivers out there. It has been a really good camp so far for Javon Wims.
And speaking about someone that the Bears could use his quote-unquote skill set, it is not a particularly tall wide receiver group,
mm-hmm.
and he's 6'4",
6'3".
He can go up and get
mm-hmm.
it, and Allen Robinson has a little bit of that,
yeah.
but it's a pretty short wide receiver room otherwise,
yeah.
and so having a guy who's familiar with the system,
right.
who's played here before, that also go up and get it, and has some height and size on guys, is going to be so crucial.
That big catch radius.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's kind of what they thought they were going to get in Kevin White last year.
Right.
Obviously, that did not play out. But
yeah.
that is an important thing, where you can just kind of hook a ball up to him anywhere in his catch radius. If he comes down with it, that's a pretty good thing. And, you know, Matt Nagy said they started to see that against Minnesota in Week 17 last year. I thought it was interesting how much that Week 17 game for Javon Wims, or I think he had four catches, stuck with people in this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it was only four catches, 36 yards, he got a couple first downs, but it was a really impressive game, they thought, and I think that is going to help propel Javon Wims onto this roster in 2019.
And I think the sort of thought process at Hallis Hall has always been he was more than a late-round draft pick.
Yeah,
and that and last year I remember people talking about how he may not see a lot of playing time early on, but, like, they're grooming him. They have long-term mm-hmm. plans for him in this organization. And so it's so encouraging when you speak so highly of a late-round draft pick that mm-hmm. his second year he's already sort of proving, at least so far, the trust in the organization that already said these things about him.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing for him.
All right, one more stock down, and this one...
Ending on a depressing note.
Well, no, we're going to end on a stock up. Don't
worry.
Okay. This one may not be super fair,
okay.
but just to keep the numbers even, I think we're going to probably have to say Bradley Soule's stock down right now.
Yeah.
Given that, you know, we've seen it's so hard to learn how to play a new position in the NFL.
Right.
So it's almost unfair to say that his stock is down because he's still building from the ground up. But I'm starting to have a little bit of a worry that he just won't be able to get it done at tight end. And the Bears aren't going to keep Bradley Soule around
right.
because they told him,
right.
hey, we want you to learn how to play tight end, but we're going to keep you on the roster no matter what. They can save, I think it's $1.5 million against the cap if they release him.
Yeah.
And he's got to prove that he can be a consistent tight end in terms of the pass catching.
Yeah.
Because the Bears can't have him out on the field, and every time he's on the field, they know they're going to run the ball.
Right.
Because then you're just giving away the play, essentially, at that point. So... we need to see more out of Bradley Soule. I'm not going to say he's played himself off the roster because he certainly is not. There still is a long time for him to show a little bit more, but we saw some drops yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't – this is probably not super breaking to say. There are times he just doesn't look natural out there.
yeah.
And – but again, that's because he's a former offensive lineman
right.
who's played in the league for a while, learning how to play tight end.
At the NFL level.
At the NFL level.
Choosing a new position at the NFL
yeah.
level.
So I think the preseason games for Bradley Soule are going to be the most important. But for the moment, sort of a tepid stock down.
Yeah, we talked about this during practice, is that the you really sort of have to see him in person to realize the work he put into changing his
yes,
body.
Which is a lot, and very impressive.
He looks like the most tight end of all the tight ends out there
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, the footwork is clumsy, the route running is suspect, the catches have not quite been there yet. There's
yeah.
a lot of work to be done. But just from a human standpoint, the work he did into getting into tight end
yes.
shape is admirable in itself.
Yes, and all the work that he put in to study the position, to be ready for this challenge, definitely admirable. It's just really hard to do it.
Right.
Okay, let's each end on a stock up, because okay. I think we might have one more guy we each want to touch on. I'm going to give my last stock up, Mike Davis.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Okay.
I know we talked about him a little bit on the pod yesterday, but he has looked really good out here, and I think a lot of the reasons why the Bears said he's got some untapped potential, we're starting to see the ability to catch passes, the ability to move and make guys miss in between the tackles. He's got a pretty good rapport with Mitch Trubisky, it mm-hmm. looks like, so far. So, again, he's a guy who, when we get into the preseason games, you're going to see a lot more out of the running backs. But so far, I think Mike Davis has been the most noticeable running back mm. over David Montgomery. Not to say that Montgomery has been bad or anything, but I've noticed Mike Davis a little bit more than David Montgomery so far.
I think I have, too. I'll only go as far as to say that the stock up for me with Davis is the versatility he's being used
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I was a Bears fan, I would be excited to know just how all over the place he's going to be
yeah.
this year. My stock up, I will sort of stay in this vein, will be Allen Robinson's role.
Yeah.
He looks mm-hmm. super involved in the offense. I mean, right, like it's offense doesn't ever flow through one player besides the quarterback, mm-hmm. but he's getting a lot of balls,
yeah,
and he's uh-huh. getting involved. And you can see there are not even just routes, but entire protections and plays designed to get him the ball in spots where he thrives.
Yeah.
And so that's been my biggest. Today was there was ones versus the threes on defense, twos
right.
and threes. So
that's the practice
right.
that he designed. Yeah.
Yeah. But he outside of the health thing, he looks involved and yeah. a big part of this offense.
I had this thought today, this morning. I was like, you know, Allen Robinson last year was still working his way back. I didn't notice him a ton
mm-hmm.
during camp. I was like, yeah, okay, we know Allen Robinson's good. This year, I am noticing Allen Robinson every single
yeah.
day
yeah.
do something impressive.
Yeah.
And that level of just, like, practice stacking is something that coaches always talk about. You want to have guys who stack good practice after good practice after good practice. No one has been doing that more on offense than Allen Robinson.
Right. And I think that it's sort of fun in the sense that a lot of the Bears wide receivers, not to say they're specific one types, but they're, you know, Gabriel's smaller and does the deep. They're,
yeah.
they're different schemes and
right.
spits. Allen Robinson is just a wide receiver.
He's doing everything.
He's doing
yeah.
everything.
Yep.
And it's so fun to watch a guy who sticks out in every facet of the
yep.
wide receiver game, which I'm not sure the Bears really have in anyone else right now,
mm-hmm.
at least not as profoundly evident as Robinson is.
Yeah, bonus stock up Roquan Smith.
Yep.
Not to get too deep into it, but he's looked really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it.
I think besides the quarterback conversation is one for another day, but people you expect to see taking step two in year two, so far it looks pretty good.
So far it does. All right, before we get out of here, today's practice was not open to the public, but there were people invited.
Mm-hmm.
Fans were here. So today's jersey of the day, how about Anthony Thomas, the A-Train from the 2001 playoff team? That jersey is old enough to go to college, I bet.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I was going to say I was 9 in 2001, so.
I was 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anthony
Thomas was one of the first running backs I actually liked watching.
Him
and Eddie George.
I'm surprised the jersey is holding up still.
I love it. I wish I had a jersey from like 2001.
Right.
I wish I had like a Kenny Lofton White Sox jersey from 2002 laying around that I could still wear.
I'll go home and see if my Brad Johnson Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey is
Ooh,
still intact.
That's
or
a
not.
Good one. I did get rid of my Bernard Berrien jersey I had in high school.
Yeah. At a certain point, you're just like, I can't wear football jerseys anymore.
No,
it's not my scene.
But, hey, that's because we cover the NFL.
Right.
And again, if you are wearing a random jersey of a random player down here in Bourbonnais,
keep doing it.
Keep doing it because
yeah.
I love this segment. This is so much fun to talk about. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Under Center Podcast Training Camp Daily, brought to you by St. Xavier University. The Bears are off tomorrow, so are we. So we will have our next Training Camp Daily podcast coming to you Thursday. That'll be myself and John Moon Mullen down here in Bourbonnais at Olivet Nazarene University. So for Cam Ellis, I'm JJ Stankovitz. Thank you for listening.